The wonderful text that we're going to preach on today is Hebrews 13, verse 8. It is seemingly in this chapter a standalone text. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. And as one preacher put it, he added, and for me. That makes it personal. He's not only the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not only eternal and present and future, but he is for me. Last Sunday evening, when I was running out of time, I mentioned that this text was a Gibraltar text. I've been asked to explain that. Well, the Rock of Gibraltar is a little piece of land on the southern tip of Spain, on the inside of the Mediterranean waters. It actually doesn't touch the Atlantic Ocean. It's on the inside. It does have a land border with Spain. There are about 30,000 people who live on that island. And in a recent poll, 98% of them wanted to remain British, not to be Spanish. It's a tax haven. It's a place for tourism. It's a place where sailors have always had a great landmark, and it brought an assurance when they saw that rock that they were on course. There is on the island a web of tunnels. It was occupied during World War II by 30,000 Allied troops, and they dug in. Now, the island was never invaded, but it was a place that was secure. Because of all that, the Rock of Gibraltar has been something of an adage, of something that's impregnable, unconquerable, safe and sure. That's why this text, Hebrews 13, verse 8, is a Gibraltar text. It stands out as a place of all time, safety and surety. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I've called it a standalone text. That's a little bit tongue-in-cheek. But I did notice that there seems to be no lead into it. There's no because, there's no for, there's no so, there's no linkage in the language. And when you get to the next verse 9, again, it seems to have no link up. And so it appears to stand all alone, a lonely text declaring the impregnable, unconquerable nature of our Lord Jesus, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Mind you, when you scan the Bible, it is not a standalone truth. There comes rushing in many, many portions of the Bible that teach us that Jesus is the same. When our Lord ascended into glory, the messenger said, "This same Jesus shall so come in like manner." In Revelation 1:8, the Lord called himself, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending." And that was actually a citation from Isaiah 41, who said, "Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning, I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he." And that reminded me of the Lord's own declarations in John's Gospel of his I am statements. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. I am the door. I am the vine. Whatever. There are seven of them. And Jesus is the I am. For that, the Jews would have stoned him. They recognized that in that statement was more than human. There was divinity. There was deity in that. Now, this word same, which is undoubtedly the key word here in verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same. This is borrowed from ancient terminology to deities. They were called the same. They were called the unchanging. And of course, only God is unchanging. We change. The world is changing. Our bodies change. Our circumstances change. Nothing stands still for long. Now, again, I've wrestled with why is this text, this great statement, inserted here with no apparent link-up? Well, let's think about that. If you go to verse 7, you'll notice that there is the exhortation, "Remember them which have the rule over you." Now, we learned that that's not referring to your elders, it's not referring to your pastors, it is referring to your heroes of the faith. Remember them who were your leaders. You have a whole list of them in Hebrews 11, from Abel right on down the line of the patriarchs, Noah, Abraham, and many others that stood for God. They are the heroes of the faith. You look at the outcome of their lives. It ended well for them. They lived in faith. They died in faith. They received the eternal reward. And we are to consider them, to model our Christian lives, even with the persecutions, the trials, the crosses that it brings to us to be a Christian. Consider how they suffered and the outcome they reaped, an eternal reward. But who is the great hero? Who is the one that stands out tall above all individuals? It is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Some of my heroes are dead. Dr. Paisley, who was the founder of this denomination, inspired many in the gospel. We can attribute the beginning and the growth of this denomination to his life. But he's gone. He now is reaping the reward of his life. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And while all things around us, men change, they come, they go. Churches change, they come, they go. Jesus remains the same. I have, in preacher's language, boiled down this great truth to three headings. This text reveals the Lord's timelessness. This text reveals the Lord's tirelessness. And it reveals his faithfulness, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Firstly, we look at the timelessness of our Lord Jesus. There is no change in his person, or what we say in theology, his substance. Now, there is one great outward dramatic change that came upon the Son of God, and that is the incarnation. When our Lord Jesus left heaven's glory, came down into this world, the second person of the Trinity, and took into union with himself a human body. You would say, that's a change. That's a massive change. That is a change that will never be undone. He will remain with that body for the remainder of eternity. Is that not an amazing change? But there was no change in his deity. He did not lose an ounce of his glory. He did not lose anything of his godhood. He lost nothing of his supernatural divine nature. Born of a virgin, he lost nothing of his purity. We're told in Luke 1:35 that the Holy Ghost overshadowed the womb of Mary. so that holy thing which was born of her should be called the Son of God. No defilement, no sin. And of course, the Lord Jesus went on to live a sinless life, the God-man in human form. Now, he did not therefore become half God and half man. He was all of God in a body that was all of man. He needed both natures, of course, to be our mediator, to be our Savior. He needed to be God in fullness, equal with God in all his power and glory, but also made in our nature. There was no change in his character. The sinless life of our Lord Jesus proved all of that. And when our Lord Jesus left heaven's glory and came down into this world, there was no rupture between him and the fellowship of the Father. God burst through the skies at times to announce, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the Lord Jesus kept up an amazing communion with his Father. Neither is there any change in his position or office. He's still the second person of the Trinity. He is still the mediator of the covenant. He is still fulfilling the office of prophet, priest, and king. And this makes our Lord Jesus the hope of the ages. We read in the Old Testament that Abram saw Christ's day and rejoiced. He looked unto Jesus all those hundreds and thousands of years ago, and he rejoiced that his Savior was coming. He is the Christ of the Old Testament and the New Testament. He's the same from the past, the present, and the future. And the future there means all ages. And this is a big theme in the book of Hebrews. Now, I come back to the point that I made, that this text seems to stand very lonely, very much standing out without any linkage to, in the grammar before or after, it's a standalone text. But the unchanging nature of the Lord is really seen through this book of Hebrews over and over and over. Are you ready to search that with me? I don't want you going home and saying, you can't believe that preacher. He didn't show us it from the Bible. Let's look at chapter 1 in Hebrews firstly. Let's look at verse 8. "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." God? That's the Father speaking to the Son. He calls him God. "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." And then verse 10, "Thy Lord in the beginning has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, creation shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." Do you see how the author of this book of Hebrews jumped right into this doctrine of the unchanging, eternal character of the Lord Jesus? And he got into it here in chapter 1. His throne is forever. The created world will change, but the Lord Jesus will never change. Then over in chapter 7, verse 23, right in the middle of dealing with sacrifices, Hebrews 7, verse 23, "They truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. And so you can write over it, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. One Savior, one Mediator, one Messiah, one Redeemer, and he knows no end. That's the power that is in the truth that we are looking at right there. And then verse 27, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated for evermore. And again, there is no change. He is the same. An unchangeable sacrifice. He's the Lamb that was slain from before the foundation of the world. And so the redeeming work of Christ goes away back to eternity past. And in Revelation 5, they sing the new song, Thou art worthy to take the book, for thou hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood out of every kindred and doctrine. So you can see that our Lord Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. He is the one who receives worship in glory in heaven as the Redeemer of his people. There's no change in his person, nor in his redemption. Nor is there any change in his nearness to his people. The Lord Jesus is with us today. He's the same yesterday, today. We do not worship an historic Jesus. We do not worship the Jesus that is in a tomb, that is a statue, a painting. We worship the very present, real, living Christ. He is alive. And he is with his church presently today. And he ever lives for us. This happens to be Pentecost Sunday. This happens to be the 50-day mark after Easter, after the death of the Lord Jesus. And of course, there were 40 days when he appeared alive. There was the 10-day prayer meeting. And then there was the descending of the Holy Ghost. And that is the beginning of New Testament preaching with awesome power. Now, I want us to go to the book of Acts chapter 2 and to notice how the apostles referred to the Lord Jesus as present, personal and present. Acts 2, verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Now the previous verse talks about his death and his corruption, that he did not corrupt in the grave, that he rose again. This Jesus, this living Lord, and he's with us. We saw him. He met with us. We saw him ascend, and he promised he would not leave us comfortless, but would send the Holy Spirit unto us. This Jesus, verse 33 now, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this. The living Lord Jesus at God's right hand sent down the Holy Spirit, brought such power and revival at Pentecost, in turning multitudes of hearts to Christ. This Jesus, he was living and present. Again in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's Lord, he's Christ. And then verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And then for clarification, we'll go over to chapter 3, verse 20. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. And 26, unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you. What a wonderful thing. The Father sends the Son to bless us. Will he do that today? The promise is where two or three are gathered together in Jesus' name, he's in the midst. He's with us today. We're worshiping the very present, real Lord Jesus. We can sing that hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. He is with his people. He's in the midst of his church. He is the living, conquering, unchanging Savior today with us. We're not just living out ancient history. We don't get our religion out of the archaeology spade. Now, sometimes they find things that are good and exciting, but that's not our faith. That's not our Savior. Our Savior's living, and he's alive to bless us. He's only a prayer away. Remember the promise in Hebrews 13:5? Let's go back to that. Hebrews 13:5. The Lord said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. He's our present helper today. Does that thrill your soul? And as we come to take this cup and bread, the Lord wants us to do this to remember him. And we just don't remember his cross and his tomb. We remember his promise. He's coming again, this do till I come. And he's coming for us. This is the present day blessing that we enjoy. And of course, he will be with us in the future. Till he come, even unto death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and staff, they comfort me. That's only possible if Jesus is alive and with us today. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. The passion and love of the Lord Jesus is the same today. The love that Christ had when he went to the cross and laid down his body on that tree, there, of course, is the epitome of the agape love of the Son of God. That God so loved the world, and the Lord Jesus so loved his church, his bride, his people. The shepherd so loved his sheep that he would lay down his life for them. Well, it is unchanging love. He loves us, his people, equally today as when he died on that cross with outstretched arms in agony for his church. He loves us with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Never forget that. Our love can grow dim. Our sight of Jesus may grow very faint. But Jesus' love for each one of his people, for you as his child, if you've trusted in him, is changeless. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Ask the dying thief on the cross, is Jesus' love the same today as the day when the love of Christ reached him? Hasn't diminished. Ask Peter. Ask Paul. Ask these heroes of the faith in Hebrews, does Jesus love today as he loved before? There's no change in him. He is the same Lord Jesus. And his purposes of redemption cannot change. He will build his church. He cannot start and cease. He cannot begin and not end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the first and the last. He cannot grow weary in his work of redemption. Now we have to confess that sometimes we grow weary. We ask, do we have to do this all over again? We ask, do we need to go out and present this gospel to sinful men? And we may grow weary, but Jesus never. He is as passionate, as zealous to run after the souls of men today as he was when he looked up the tree and he said to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide at your house. And of course, he had a plan of salvation for his soul. Now around the world today, the Lord is saving his people. There are many that are being brought into the church, brought to faith in Christ. Is he working in your heart? Do you hear his voice calling you to believe, trust, come, enter into, and rest in his work, in his saving grace? In our adult class, we were finishing off Romans 10 last week, and we learned how that to the Jewish people, the Lord stood all day long with outstretched arms to call the people to believe. They were not left behind. They were not abandoned. They were called to trust. And so are you. And you will never say that you're not invited. You will never say that you were never coerced or called to believe on Jesus, the Son of God. Because Jesus is timeless. Timeless. The same yesterday and today and forever. And let me add in, and for me. Hallelujah! Jesus is for me. And as I take that cup and bread, as I look on that cup that is red and that bread that is white, as I commune and take of these symbols, what am I saying? Jesus is for me. It doesn't matter that I live in the 21st century or the first century. It doesn't matter if it is 2017 or A.D. 33. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Doesn't matter what stage I'm at in the Christian life. Once we believe, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and for me. Can you take communion on that basis today? Can you reach out and take that cup and that bread and say, this Savior, this same Jesus who lived for me and died for me is for me today? Then we bid you participate. Take the cup and the bread. Let this be the expression of your faith. Let you declare to all present, this is my hope. This is my confidence. I am looking unto Jesus. Looking away from everything else. Looking unto Jesus. He is timeless. I haven't yet got to preach on that he is ever the same and that he is filled with truthfulness. Let's do that tonight. Come back at 6 p.m. if you possibly can, and we'll continue to preach this great truth. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever.